Now, so we try our best to understand and to love you. We try to tell you the truth because it is our desire to help you, not to hurt you. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in the world. The Bible said it's better that a millstone be tied about your neck and that you be drowned in the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones that trust in him. So what we say, we do not say it offensive to hurt you. But there is another scripture that says, blessed is he that is not offended in me. And so then when the minister is preaching, it is not him speaking, but the heavenly Father that's speaking from within him. And the Bible tells us that ye are blessed if ye be not offended at the things that he says. A lot of people get offended, but David said that when a person gets offended that they're not right with God. He said, my heart is fixed in God and nothing shall offend me. Is that right? If a person's really seated in God, he'll never get offended. He might get hurt. He might get grieved. But he'll never see the day he ever gets offended. Never. All right, so it's good to be here, and it's good to share my enthusiasm with you and know that you're sharing your enthusiasm with me. Here in the great state of West Virginia, I am pleased to be. I have never ministered in the state of West Virginia before, never. I've been through here many times, and I've had invitations into Virginia, but I've never ministered here. But I have come here to minister because the Lord led me here. We moved by spiritual revelation, and God has led us to this place. And truly, West Virginia is a great state. I don't know whether we have anybody here that's ever worked in the coal mines or if they work in the coal mines, but I've often thought about those people. To me, they're very courageous people. Anybody that'll go down into those mines after what I've heard through the papers of people dying and dads losing their lives where those mines cave in, it must be some courageous people. But anyway, I do know that you have a lot of it coming out of here. So I'm thankful to be here and have an opportunity to minister to you. And I trust that you'll come back with us each night of the revival, that we're here to try to work with us and do something for God. In the years gone by, great and mighty revivals have sprung up from West Virginia. Great and mighty moves of God have sprung up. The Lord has shown me that there is going to be one more great move of God, and it's going to spring up like fire, and it's going to move across the entire world in a hurry, and then God is forever going to put things behind him, Brother Ernie. That's going to be the last thing that he ever does. Now, I'm hoping that God will consider me in this move. I'm trusting that God will. I'm asking him to use me and help me to be part of this last move. And I wonder if you people here in West Virginia would love to be able to be used of God in this last move. And some of you that have borne the heat of the day, that's prayed and fasted and sought God, how many of you would really like to make a sacrifice, get together, and really put something over for God and see God move one more time and let it spring out of West Virginia and go around the world as it has in times past? How many of you would like to do that? Let me see your hand. I'm sure that you would. I'd like to do it myself, and I'm sure that you would, and I know that Brother Ernie also shares your enthusiasm. God is sending you here for a great purpose, and I want to do what little I can while I'm here to help it. All right, now, if you've got your Bibles, turn over to the book of Genesis with me to the 18th chapter, and we'll read just a little bit. I hope you'll give me a chance to get just a little swallow of water here, and then we'll read from the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis and see if the Lord will give us a thought. Now, try not to hold you long. I'm real considerate of people. I have heard, you know, the statement made, well, I don't care what the people think. I'm going to do what I feel to do. Well, I'm not that kind of preacher. I do care what the people think. I'm very much concerned about the people. Jesus was concerned about the people. I'm concerned about their tired, weary bodies. I'm concerned about their tired, weary minds. I'm concerned about the oppression that they're under and the need that they have from God. I'm greatly concerned about it. And I try to be just as considerate as I can in carrying on my ministry. Even though there's one thing that we are compelled to do, if we are to help you, then we've got to be able to constrain you somewhat to hear the gospel, because the flesh is weak. How many of you understand that the flesh is weak? Jesus said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it is a truth fact that every time that God wanted Israel to go out of Egypt to be able to worship him, Pharaoh always had more brick to be made, didn't he? Right. And it is a truth fact that every time that God wants to demand a little of our attention, there is always something that Satan has for us to do. The world always is calling to us, if we've got one automobile, to get another one. If we've got one home, to get another one. If we've got one suit, to get another one. If we've got one bank account, to get another one. Isn't that right? Satan is always demanding to give us something else to do that he might occupy our time and keep us from getting into God. That's right. There's people sitting here tonight in this congregation that you know that God has spoke to you and called you away to fasting and prayer and to get closer to God, and you know that you plan to do it, but you put it off. And you kept saying, Lord, it's not a convenient time, but at a more convenient season. Is that right? But let me tell you something. At a more convenient season, you might wait and God might not hear you. Is that right? The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So then I'm glad that we are of the understanding that this is the move of God. Every man runs to his own house, lets the house of God lay waste, and they say, Lord, it's not time to build thy house. But the Bible said, they say it is time for them to build their sealed houses and for them to plant their vineyards. But they say, Lord, it's not time for us to build your house. But I want you to know it's time to build God's house. It's time to build God's house, folks. It's time to build God's house. We've left God's house undone for years, and we've built every house but God's house, and it's time to build God's house. You say, but Brother Pike, we've got a building here. But the Bible tells us that you, I, the others, that we are the stones of God that's built up into a lively priesthood, a habitation for the Spirit. Is that right? God is a Spirit. John 4:24, and God inhabits the praise of his people. And God is looking for you, the lively stones, to come together that he might build the house. For it's written in the Scriptures, I will return in the last day, saith God, and I will build up the fallen down house of David. Is that right? Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought. I'd like to say this before I read. Brother Charles T. Wick here is with us tonight, Brother Benson, and from over in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're certainly glad to have him here with us tonight. I think Brother Benson is a native of West Virginia. And Brother Charles, I believe, is from Hungary. I'm not sure. I never can just exactly place him. He's kind of like Abraham without a continuing city. But Charles was over in that country when all of the communistic happenings begun, and he went through a lot of rough places, saw a lot of rough things. And he's here with us tonight, and we're glad to have him here with us. Right, may the Lord bless you. We're thankful for each one of you. And I ask you to pray for me tonight as I try to exhort you a little bit. Chapter 18, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort your hearts, and after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hasted unto the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Sarah and Abraham and Sarah was old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry then, which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Let be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. Let be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto thee, Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto thee, Lord. Peradventure there be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. All right, that's reading the 18th chapter. I read quite a bit of Scripture. I said the other night, I read quite a bit of Scripture because I've learned that people, as a rule, do not read the Bible. And if you don't read it when they go to the house of God, then they go for many months and they never get into the Scripture. So we find it convenient to read the Scripture to our people wherever we go. In the 14th verse of this chapter, I want you to notice something here, that at the very high noon day, the Bible said it was at the very high noon when the sun was very hot at its hottest place during the day, that Abraham was sitting under the oak of Mamre out in the plains. All of a sudden he looked up, and the Bible said that there appeared 3 men that came by, and Abraham, being spiritual, suddenly he recognized that these were angels of God. Now, you know, a lot of times people are not spiritual. The Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. Did you know that when you talk to a Christian, that you ought to be real careful? If a man of God comes into your city, you should be very careful, because a lot of times you may be entertaining angels. The Bible said the angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear God, and a lot of times there may be an angel with the man or with the woman with whom you speak, and you unawares may be entertaining that angel. Is that right? So then Abraham, he recognized the angels of God as they came to him there, and under the oak of Mamre, he jumped up from his seat and he said, turn in here and stay with me, abide with me. And they said, well, they were on their way down to Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham said, abide here, my Lord. Stay here. He knew there was something different about these three men that had come to his little place of abode. And he said, now you stay here. You abide with me right here. And so then he said, Sarah, you run hurriedly now, and you get three measures of meal, and you come back and you start baking some cakes. We've got to feed these people. You know, the Bible said out of necessity, that of necessity, that the minister must be given to hospitality. Is that right? In other words, he must be a person that's given to hospitality. You can tell a real minister because he's always giving. He's always helping. He's always lending. And you can always tell a child of the devil because he's always got to have an offering. He's got to have this and he's got to have that. In everything that he can take you for, you can look for him to get it. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? So then, here was Abraham. And Abraham, he saw these men. And Abraham said, we'd better get a calf, we'd better get some meat, and better feed these people. I feel something strange. I suppose he probably said to Sarah, now there's something divine about these people, Sarah. We want to be sure that we do everything just right. And so it was that Sarah hurried away. And then as they began to eat, all of a sudden, they began to say unto Abraham, Abraham, at the time of life, I will return unto Sarah, and thou shalt have a son. And the Bible said that Sarah was inside of the tent, and she heard the angel say that, and all of a sudden she laughed within herself, and she said, of a surety shall this be to me. I'm old, and shall I and my Lord have pleasure? And the angel of God having the discernment, the angel of God knowing what was going on, the angel of God turned, and the angel of God said, Sarah, wherefore didst thou laugh? And Sarah, she was afraid. She got afraid. She realized something was divine there. There was something that old Abraham had recognized that Sarah had never recognized. But now then when they began to tell her the very thoughts of her heart, then she knew that something spiritual was taking place because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And Sarah said, oh, I didn't laugh. And the angel said, nay, but thou didst laugh, Sarah. And Sarah, she was really shook up. And you know, a lot of people, they mock Sarah for that. They say she's just, you know, just an old unbeliever. But if you'll notice, just before the angel came to Abraham, here at the tent, at the oak of Mamre, that God appeared to Abraham just a short while before that. And did you know that Abraham did exactly the same thing that Sarah did. Did you know that? Have you ever read in the scripture when the Lord said, Abraham, I'm going to give thee a son. The Bible said that Abraham laughed in his heart and said, shall I, who am old, shall I surely have a son. He'd done exactly the same thing that Sarah did. There was only one difference. Old Abraham chuckled down here in faith, believing that it was going to come to pass. And Sarah, she laughed down here, not thinking that it could be so. That was the only difference. Did you know? That's the difference between people out today that profess Christianity, you know. That's the difference. There's just a little difference in some people. All of them profess Christianity, but there's a little difference in that. And the difference is that one of them believe and one of them do not believe. Amen. There's a make-believer. I said, there's a make-believer. There's a make-believer, and they make believe that they're going to heaven, and they make believe that everything's all right, and they make believe that they're Christians, and they're just as miserable and wretched and blind as they can be. The Bible said if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. Is that right? And the Bible said the great whore is the ditch. That's what Solomon said. So then what is the whore? It's the whorish person out yonder that doesn't know that Jesus Christ is God. That never has received the understanding that Christ is God. Is that right? It said, and they that reject God, they that God is angry with shall fall into the great ditch. And Solomon said, the whore is the great ditch, sitting upon many waters, giving her teachings, giving her understanding, not accepting the fact that God has manifested himself in the flesh. Therefore, Therefore, she is considered the great whore. She doesn't receive the name Jesus, does she? Her children are bastard children, and God said, I'll cast them into a bed of adultery. I'll burn her flesh with fire. Is that right? One of these days, the atom bomb, the hydrogen bomb, is going to fall on this great United States. And a great move of tribulation is going to sweep over them. And God is going to burn the children of the flesh of the great whorish mind with fire and with brimstone. The angel came to Abraham, and the angel looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And there are those three men, they ate with Abraham. They reproved Sarah. They reminded Abraham of the promise. And old Abraham was not weak concerning the faith. Hallelujah. Some people got faith, but they're not very strong in faith. But the Bible said Abraham was strong in faith. He was giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you ever considered the faith of Abraham? Why did God ever call him the father of the faithful? Have you ever considered what kind of faith he had? On one occasion, God said to Abraham, said, get thee up, Abraham, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer your son up as a sacrifice on the mountain. Old Abraham got up, he wouldn't even tell Sarah what he's going to do, because he knew Sarah tried to stop him. And he just got that son and went over to the land of Moriah, got up on the mountain up there, and when he started to leave, now don't you see what faith really is like? Here he is down in the valley. Here's the men that are with him. All of them went over there. They clave the wood. Got everything ready for the sacrifice. And God had already told Abraham he's going to have to take his son away from him. And here's old Abraham. Now this is what faith really is. Listen now. Here's old Abraham. Abraham turned around to him. He said, I've got to go make a sacrifice to God. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and we will sacrifice unto God. He said, I and the lad shall return. Now brother, that's faith. Praise God, at the foot of the mountain, God had told him he was going to take the life of that child. But he had so much faith in God that God would raise him up from the dead, and he and that boy would return down the mountain the same way they went up. He said, y'all wait for me. Hallelujah. What if we had faith like that, folks? What if we had faith like that? He said, but how in the world could Abraham have that kind of faith? Because God said, Abraham, I'm going to give thee a son, and I'm going to raise up a great nation from him, and I'm going to make your seed as the stars innumerable, and innumerable as the sands of the seashore. And Abraham knew he had that promise from God. He said, I received Isaac as a like figure from the dead. We couldn't have children anyway, and God gave him to me. Is not God able to raise him up from the dead? And after all, God gave us a promise. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Has God ever given you a promise? They tell me there's 32,000 promises in this book right here. We sang a little song, Brother Taylor sings it sometimes. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I'm trusting in His Word divine, because every promise in the book is mine. All the rest of them shuddered and shivered, trembled. Oh, Peter, he just wanted to know one thing. Is that you, Lord? Can I be sure that that's you? Jesus said, it's me, Peter, fear not. Oh, Peter said, that's good enough. Overboard in the midst of a raving, foaming ocean. If you've never been out there, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you've never tried to swim in the ocean, I have. If you never have, you don't know what I'm talking about. And there Peter went out in the midst of the sea. And there he stood on it. The Bible said he walked by faith. He walked. And Jesus said, come to me, Peter. And here Peter walked. Now watch this real close now. Here's Peter walking on the water. Here's Peter, the man with the keys to the kingdom, walking on the water. Never before had anybody ever done it but Jesus. Never again do we have any record where anybody ever done it but Jesus. Oh, Peter, is that right? And here he is walking on the water. All of a sudden, Peter got his mind off of the word. The word standing out there made flesh, and the promise of God in a personification said, come to me, Peter. And here he is standing out there in the midst of the water. Oh, Peter walking. After a while, Peter got to listening to the roar. Listening to the roar. You know, that's where people make a mistake. You've got your eyes on God and everything's going all right, and suddenly you hear a roaring. And the devil starts to gossip. And the devil starts to roaring. And the devil starts telling you something you're unbelief. And the first news you know, he's got your attention. And brother, your faith has gone down the drain. And then you're in trouble with God. Hallelujah. Look back and say, my God, I used to walk on the water. What's the matter with me? Oh, Peter, he looked down. He heard that rolling. He looked down. He got his mind off of God. All of a sudden, he began to sink down beneath the waves. But you know what? The song said, he's never failed me yet. Hallelujah, he's never failed me. Oh, Peter, he couldn't get up much faith, but he just believed enough to stick that hand out. And he stuck that hand up above, and he said, Master! And Jesus said, it's all right, Peter. And he reached down and got a hold of that hand. I want you to see something there. There's a man that's mighty in faith walking on the water, and all of a sudden his faith is completely gone, and he's drowning. You see what I mean? You can have great faith and all of a sudden get your mind off the promise of God and be drowned. That same powerful Peter that was walking on the water, the same man, all of a sudden was drowning. Is that right? But look at it. God reproved him. And the Lord said to Peter, look. He said, son, when you get converted, I want you to go back to preaching. I want you to get away from this fishing. And he said, I want you to go back to preaching. And all of a sudden, Peter got a hold of himself, and he said, now look, Peter, he said, when you're converted, I want you to strengthen the brethren. Oh, Peter took courage. Now look at it now. Peter cursed, denied that he ever knew God. He denied that he ever knew him, he cursed, walked away, turned his back on him. Now, the Lord didn't look at Peter and say, Peter, I prayed for thee. Now listen real close. He didn't say, I prayed for thee, Peter, that thy righteousness fail not thee. Oh, Peter's righteousness had already failed. He'd already cursed. He'd already denied him. God didn't say, I prayed for you that your righteousness fail not. But he said, Peter, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not. I prayed for thee, Peter, that though you've done this evil thing, that you'll still take courage in God and faith in God and rise up above it and strengthen the brethren. Is that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter said, look on us. Hallelujah. Is that right?
Amen. Praise God.
All right. The same powerful Peter, faith. The Bible said Abraham was not weak in faith, but he was strong in faith. Some people have faith, but they're very weak in faith. But Abraham was strong in faith. Now look, the same Peter was converted over. And then, after that he was converted, what did he do? The same Peter that was drowning, that couldn't believe, rolled up, got upon the wall, and said, just lay your sick out there. He said, just lay him out there in the roll. I believe God. I believe God. Like old Paul, when he was out in the midst of the sea, and the boat being tossed about, stood up in the midst of a troubled people, and he said, I believe God. Is that right? I believe God. He said, the angel of the Lord, whom I am and whom I serve, said he appeared to me this very night, and I believe it shall be exactly as the Lord has told me it shall be. Is that right? He stood up, Paul said, don't fear. Don't fear. I believe God. Peter said, lay him out there. He said, I believe God. The people run out there and they lay the sick out there. And Peter got up there to where that sunshine could hit him. That's all you got to do is get in the light. You might be walking in darkness and you can't do anything. But old Peter, he got up on the wall like this. And he stood up there like that. And he began to walk down that wall. And as he started walking down that wall, he got in the light. That's what people need to do is get in the light. The Bible said if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus shall cleanse you from sin. Oh, Peter got in the light. As he got in the light, the shadow began to move. And as the shadow began to move along, all of a sudden people began to get out of the wheelchairs or whatever they had in that day. Off of the stretchers, they begin to get up. They begin to be made whole. And as it was with Philip down there in Samaria, great joy was in that city. Amen. God began to heal. People began to believe. I said in the early part of this message, wouldn't you like to see something break out in West Virginia that would stir the faith of people and see God make a move one more time in the earth? Would you like to see? Hallelujah. You can do it if you want to. Abraham believed God. And so it was said here, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? When Sarah laughed, God, the angel said, is there anything too hard for God? I ask you the question tonight, is there anything too hard for God? And I'm just beginning to get started preaching. But I'm not trying to get into Revelation here. I've dropped in just a little pad of Revelation each night. Because I perceive there's many people here that don't even know what Revelation is. But I've tried to preach some simple messages on faith and something that could arouse you and awake you to where we can help you. But I want to see something happen, don't you? I want you to stand with me tonight. I want you to stand with me. I want to see God move. I know that we're living in a great hour. And I know something's happening. And I know you can have a part in it. If you really want a part in it, you can have a part. But brothers and sisters, you're going to have to mean business. You're going to have to be diligent. You're going to have to rise up. Hallelujah. Jesus said, couldest thou not watch with me 1 hour? I don't believe I've been preaching an hour.
Hallelujah.
I don't believe I've been preaching an hour. Couldest thou not watch with me 1 hour? Said their eyes were heavy with sleep. Heavy with sleep. How do you know the midnight cries upon us? A lot of people say, but I'm not asleep. But you are. Oh, but you are. Oh, somebody said, but I'm a saint of God. Brother Pike, I'm not asleep. That don't make any difference. If you're a saint of God, that don't make any difference. The Bible said the midnight cry, they all were asleep. The saints was asleep. The foolish virgins was asleep. The wise virgins was asleep. Isn't that right? All of it gone asleep. Did you know that today you can't tell Pentecost from Methodism? You can't tell Pentecost from Baptist. You can't tell Pentecost from Catholic. Is that right? Why? Said the light had gone out. Amen. Like the light had gone out. You look now and you see the miniskirts. And they're supposed to be Pentecost. Amen. What's the matter? They've gone to sleep. The light's gone out. You say, well, Brother Pike, if the people got anything, Brother, the light's gone out. They need to rise up and trim the lamps. Trim the lamps. I made a statement, you know, when I was a little boy living out in the country, Dad, we used to have an old lamp light, you know. Had a lamp light. We didn't have any electric lights. Lived out on the farm. Didn't have any electric lights. And you know, a lot of times, if you didn't trim the wick just right, the chimney gets smutty. Have you ever seen that happen? The old chimney gets smutty. It didn't make no difference whether you had oil in the lamp or not. Nobody could see the light. Amen. Mom, she'd wash that lamp, and that little light would be so nice. Dad, he'd trim that wick, and my, we just have light right on over into the night. All you got to do is trim that little wick of faith, that little faith that's called God's wick. The Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward part, and on the outside, this little globe gets kind of smutty, and you have to wash it up by the washing of the water of the Word. Is that right? You go out and work all day, you're tired and weary. You come in and you jump under the shower and you just feel so clean. And it's the same way with Christians. They get out in the world and they feel dirty. But then they come in and get under the fountain of God, the shower of God. All of a sudden they feel clean. Hallelujah. By the washing of the water of the Word. They feel all cleaned up and ready to do something for God. Is that right? They feel rejuvenated, re-energized, and to have a jubilee that springs up inside their heart. Hallelujah. And so then we see that their lights are gone out. They do the thing the world does. They gossip. They backbite. They smoke. They chew. They dip. They watch evil things on the television. They listen to evil things on the radio. They see evil things in the magazines. And they just don't do right anymore. Their lamps have gone out. All of them were asleep. But about that time there came a cry. And somebody said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Get up. Trim your lamps, because the midnight is here. Is that right? The darkest part of the night just before the dawn. I will say this, and I don't mean anything arrogant about it, anything wrong. But in Revelation, the Negro people represent a certain thing. The white man represents a certain thing. The German, the Japanese all represent a certain thing. Well, in Revelation, the Negro represents gross darkness covering the world. That's right. And at this time, with no disrespect to the Negro people, because we've got some wonderful sons of God that are born to the kingdom that go to our church. We don't have any problem with them. Great people of God, but just following their type now. Remember this, white, black, yellow, whatnot, in God, there's neither male nor female, Greek nor Jew, German, Negro, whatnot. Is that right? Eve is the mother of all living. She's the mother of the Negro. She's the mother of the white man. She's the mother of the Japanese. She's the mother of all living. And God is going to take the Japanese, the German, the Negro, the Caucasian, that is the white, all of them, and bump head to head with an evil flock of people until he destroys the wicked from over the face of the earth. Are you listening? The Bible said God's angry with the wicked every day. Somebody said, but I don't believe God is. I believe God loves us all. But the Bible says that God is angry with the wicked every day. The Bible said that the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. The Bible says that the prayer of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. And the Bible said that we know that God heareth not sinners. That's the Bible, my brother. Now, we can tell you whatever we want to tell you, but I'm telling you what the Word said. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will preach the Word. He won't preach what he thinks about it. You can tell where he said about it, not because he'll preach the Word. And he said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. Now, the rain is coming on the just and on the unjust. Is that right? I said the other night, the briar loves the water just like the wheat, because they all live from the same life. But according to the seed, according to the seed, that's the kind of harvest it will be. The water will come down on the church member. It will come down on the Christian. It will come down on the bar. It will come down on the wheat. But the harvest will tell what the seed was. Is that right? All of them will shout and have a good time. But oh my, I wish we just had time to preach to you tonight. But I want you to listen to this just a little bit. I'm going to close out now. Now, gross darkness is covering the people. Did you know that Washington, not too far away from you, that it's almost blacked out with the black man? How many of you know that? Black power? Is that right? I told somebody a number of years ago, I said, watch and see if it don't happen. I said, there'll be a great Regina the Negro Man. I said, it'll spring out of Memphis, Tennessee. I said, and it'll head up in Atlanta, Georgia. I said, they'll never move into Washington to try to set up there because they know that's the white man's heaven. I said, but they'll overthrow it. And I told them, I said, watch, they'll try to bomb the White House. Try to blow it up. It wasn't but a few days after I made the statement they tried to blow it up, and somebody put some dynamite, whatever, TNT into a car and run it, the paper stated they run it into the Capitol, trying to blow it up to do away with it. Why? To shift that government. And I told him, I said, the government will shift from Washington, D.C. to Atlanta, Georgia. That's a big statement, isn't it? But after they made it, all of a sudden Kissinger went down in Atlanta, Georgia, called a meeting, an international meeting. Never before had it been done. Never in the history of our nation. But he called an international meeting, and they gathered together in Atlanta, Georgia, and they asked permission there to hold it in the Capitol. And for the first time in the history of the state of Georgia, Martin Luther King, the black man's picture, went up in the White House, or in the Capitol. Are you listening? And Oral Roberts was right along to help with it. Are you listening? I made the statement years ago. I said, Oral is a great man and God's doing great things to him. I said, but in his old age, he'll fall away. I said, Revelation shows it. I said, if you'll watch it, you'll see it happen. It happened exactly that way. I said, after a while, I said, this year, they'll begin to stir and try to make a comeback. Oral Roberts made the statement recently. He said, if I'd have known that what I did was going to leave such an impact on the nation, I'd have never went into the Methodist Church. Amen. I said, A. Allen is going to take sick and die. I said, there's something wrong in his life. And I said, he's going to take sick and he's going to die. I said, his death is near at hand. We're over in the eras of Olive Branch, Mississippi. We moved on over, went to Georgia. I was up preaching one night, and they come and brought me a note and said, A. Allen is dead. Said, he's dead. I said, that's exactly what God said. I said, he took sick and died. They said, no, Brother Pike, said he wasn't sick. I said, I know that he took sick and died. I said, you just have to check into it because God said he takes sick and died. They checked into it and found out he'd been sick for 2 or 3 weeks or longer before his death. Died with infiltration of the liver. And before his death, had been sick, so sick he couldn't even make the broadcast. And even at the time of the broadcast, when he said that A.A. Allen is still alive, he was dead right then when the tape was played on the radios. I said, William Branham, I don't know whether you know the great prophet of our day or not, William Branham. I said, William Branham will come out of the desert in the year, near the year 66. I said, his ministry will be over. I told Brother Parnell, I said, Brother William Branham is going to die. I said, I saw a vision this morning. I lay on the bed. I looked up and saw the casket. I woke up and looked up, and there it was. And I said, he's going to die. I said, that was in the early part of 65. In the latter part of 65, he was killed in a wreck. I didn't see how he would go out. I just knew he was going to die. Now, numbers of people have gone off the scene so that God could bring something the past. There's a lot of things I could mention tonight concerning Brother David Terrell and some of the other great men that God has spoken to me about, and what would happen to them and how it would happen. And so far it's happened right down the line as we spoke it. We've got hundreds of tapes at home where we preach these things and brought them out. Folks, we're living in a great hour. It's an hour to believe. It's an hour to have fellowship with God. It's an hour to rise up and trim your lamps and do something for Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the presence of God here tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost. I hope you feel it tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost. He's inside of me tonight, moving. You're the temples of the Holy Ghost. God lives on the inside of you and moves on the inside. Will you be strong in faith tonight? Will you do like Peter? If you fail, will you rise up? Let me tell you this in closing. My wife made the statement one time. She said, God gave me a revelation. I said, what was it? She said, George, she said, you know, said, I was thinking. And the Spirit spoke to me and said, you know, said, when Jesus started up to Calvary, said he fell beneath the load. Said he fell beneath the load. She said, but he got back up. She said, God revealed in my heart at the Son of God got such a heavy burden that he fell beneath the load. He got back up. That shows me that I can get back up. The Bible said a good man will fall 7 times and get back up. Hallelujah. He can get back up. If you fail, my brother, you can get back up and shine as a light tonight. Hallelujah. Stir the world for Jesus. You can do it tonight. Amen. Some people say, but Brother Pike, I'm getting a little bit too old. But I want you to know tonight, you're not too old. Hallelujah. Old Brother Moses, why, he didn't even get started until he's about 80 years old. I said he's about 80 years old before he ever got started. Is that right? Abraham, an old man, trying to straddle a camel and went off and fought a battle that nobody else could win and won it and come back to the Valley of Shaveh and offered up his sacrifice. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people are self-righteous, you know. They've missed the boat because they're self-righteous. I made a statement last night. Oh, Brother Job, God went down there and talked to him. Sometimes we get self-righteous. God come down and talk to us. Is that right? Don't be more holy than thou trusted him. Amen. Don't look on others as being bad. Look on God as being good. Don't measure yourself by somebody that's fallen, somebody that's weak. Measure yourself by God and you'll see room to move up, brother. Old Job kept measuring himself by these men that were around him, and finally, they just left off with Job. They didn't know what to say because he was more righteous than they was. But about that time, God stepped out from the throne of glory. And he said, I'd like to know who this is down here that darkness counsel without knowledge. I'd like to know who this is doing this talking down here. Old Brother Job had made the statement, said, I'd love to know where God lives. Said, if I knew where he lives, then I'd go there, down that path, and I'd go right to his door, and I'd tell him I'd done right. God didn't give him time to come over to his house. He just went over to Job's house. Yeah. Amen. He got down there and Job said, I saw that figure go before my eyes and said, the hair stood up on my arms. On my head, the hair stood up, he said, as I saw that spirit pass by. And he said to me, he said, who is this in darkness counsel without knowledge? Old Brother Job put his hands over his mouth. He said, I spoke one time. I spoke twice. Said, but I won't be talking anymore. He said, I'm ready to listen to God. And God said to him, said, can thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades? Canst thou do it, Job? He said, can you loose the bands of Orion? He said, can you, Job, loose the bands of Orion? Can you do it, Job? Can you bind the sweet influence of Pleiades? Can you do it? Can you do it, Job? Can you do it? Can you command Mazarth? Can you do it? Can you do it? Can you lead or guide our tourists with his sons, Job? He said, have you ever entered into the treasures of the snow, Job? He said, do you know where the doors of death is? Have you ever stood in the shadows of the doors of death? He said, Job, do you know? He said, Job, where was you when I laid the foundation of the earth? He said, what did I fasten it to, Job? What did I fasten it to, Job? He said, who laid the cornerstone thereof? He said, Job, he said, where was you when I clothed the earth with a cloud and I took darkness and made a sparkling band put around it? He said, where was you at, oh Brother Job? Where was you at when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God leaped for joy? He said, where was you, Job? Where was you, Job? Hallelujah. Where was you? Amen. Where was you when all these things were taking place? Hallelujah. I know where I was at. I was in the foreknowledge of God, safe and secure with Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 That's all right. These sisters have to leave. Maybe their husbands commanded them to be home at a certain time. It's all right. Let's stay a little longer. Used to have a song, pull off your shoes and throw it in the corner, stay all night and stay a little longer. Amen. So Paul preached all night, but stayed all night and stayed a little longer. Amen. I'm not going to keep you much longer. I'm going to let you go. I want you to understand tonight that God is trying to do something. If you've got time, a lot of people don't have time for God. They don't have time, but the Bible said, take time to be holy. Is that right? You take time to look for a car. You take time to look for a home. You take time to make a living for the flesh. And the Bible said, all of your labor's for your belly, because your belly craves it of you. But he said, take time to be holy. Amen. Give a little time to Jesus. Give a little time to Jesus. Old brother Hezekiah, he prayed to God. He said, I've done right. I've given him my days, God. God said, Isaiah, go back and tell him I'll give him 15 more years. But I'll tell you what, if you ain't got a little time for Jesus, God will take 15 years off of your life. That's the reason some of them died at early ages. That's the reason that Jesus has got them. They've got time for everything but God. Amen. But God said, Isaiah, go back over there. Tell the old brother, I'll give him another 15 years because he shared a few hours with me. Hallelujah. Don't you love God? You give God 15 minutes tonight, God may give you 15 years. Hallelujah. When others are dying with diseases, God may heal you and bring you out. I feel good, don't you? Amen. I know you got to go. I understand. Let's sing a little chorus together, brothers and sisters. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Can you sing it with me? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Sing it with me. Oh, Savior. Oh, Savior. Won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. I wonder why we sing this. If you could step out and come around the altar just for a few minutes for a closing prayer, and let me pray for you tonight, would you? You might be sick in body. I'll just have a massive prayer tonight since I'm late. I'll try to lay hands on you individually. I wonder tonight if you're lost and undone without God, if you have a need, if you're bound with the Spirit, whatever it might be, if you'll come around the altar tonight, I'd like to pray for you. I believe God will break the yoke, and I believe God will do something for you. I feel God tonight, don't you? I feel the anointing here, and the Bible said the anointing will break the yoke, and I feel the anointing of God here, don't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you come on for just a few minutes tonight? Hallelujah. Come on, folks. Just for a few minutes tonight, let's take a minute for God. God may really do something for us. Hallelujah. I'm praying earnestly for you. I'm not just praying for you here in the meeting, but I'm praying for you at home. I'm praying for you when I get away from church at night. I pray for you. Last night in the middle of the night, I was on my knees praying that God would do something for you and God would bless the revival. I want to pray. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against God but not praying for the people. I want to pray for the people. I want to see God help the people. I want to see people get free. I want to see people healed and people strong and healthy and with a drive for God again. You love the Lord, slip your hands up, will you? Slip your hands up. All right, while we've got our hands up tonight, let's sing this little chorus again now. Let's sing it over again. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. And while we're singing this, I'm going to pray for you. Will you? Let's sing it all together now. Oh, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Won't you hear my humble cry? Oh, while on others' heart calling. Oh, do not pass me by. Sing it one more time, will you? Oh, Savior. Oh, Savior. Oh, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Just praise God now. Lift up your hands and close your eyes. And while they're playing on the piano here, and while I feel the anointing of God, I'm going to pray tonight. And Jesus said, when ye pray, believe. When ye pray, believe. And if you desire anything of God, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. I'm going to pray tonight because I feel faith tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I ask you to grant the healing of these people's body. I ask you tonight to work a miracle, Jesus. Oh God, loose every person from bondage tonight. Loose their minds. Let them feel the freedom of the Spirit. Let them feel the anointing tonight, Jesus. Oh God, and strengthen them and supply their needs physically, spiritually, and financially tonight, Jesus. I ask you tonight, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus.